Ahmaduhu nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. Request the brothers to try and sit close, come towards the middle. Please keep in mind the brothers are still reading the Sunnah al-Nawafil. We begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send salat and salam, salutations upon Imam al-Anbiya, Sayyidul Rusul Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Once again, I welcome the brothers to our monthly reflections program. Alhamdulillah, this program has been running for the last few months now with this objective in mind, that we give the brothers an opportunity for them to come out of their busy lives, to come out of the environment of the dunya, come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflect upon different aspects of life. So every month we choose different topics, and being the month of Rabiul Awal, we decided that this program, the topic will be the seerah of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Just one point to mention, with regards to the month of Rabiul Awal, we know that this is the month in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent into this world. It was also the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his beloved from this dunya. So this month holds great significance and a great connection with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when it comes to Miladun Nabi, the Mawlid, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn from our elders, the ulama of Deoband, that there are two aspects. One is that a person makes the month of Rabiul Awal an excuse to make mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to talk about his seerah and to make this a stepping stone of learning about the sunnah and the seerah, and to implement the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into one's life. There's nothing wrong in this. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he deserves that we remember him not only in the month of Rabiul Awal, every month, every week, every day, every second, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deserves to be remembered. But we get busy, we become negligent. So the month of Rabiul Awal is just a reminder for us, so that once again we can connect with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is nothing wrong in this. But on the other side, if a person makes the Mawlid, the Milad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into a public ceremony and into a day of celebration, just how we celebrate the days of Eid, now a person is falling into the realms of bidah and innovation. One of our elders, he has very beautifully put it, that Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jo hai, wo manane ki cheez nahi hai, wo to apnane ki cheez hai. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not something that we should celebrate and show our happiness. A person goes on public marches, a person has lights in his house. Rather, it is something which a person should adorn and beautify his heart with. And a person's life and the way he deals and the way he behaves should show that he has love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, because there's very less time, inshallah. Normally we have a short bayan, after we have the Q&A session, and after food is served. But because of less time, and in order to give the topic the time it deserves, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his seerah deserves, you know, many hours. But in order to give it a bit more time, inshallah, today the setup is just a qira'ah, will be a naat, there'll be Hazrat Maulana's bayan, and inshallah, just before the dua, we'll give our prizes for our salah attendance competition. Inshallah, food will be served before the Isha salah. So inshallah, not to take up any more time, I call upon Ibrahim Saeed to come forward and recite some verses from the glorious Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام وأعد لهم أجرا كريما يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين ودع أذاهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله اللهم زد وبارك. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from those who have iman on the Quran, who read the Quran, who understand the Quran, and who propagate the message of the Quran. Just a reminder to the brothers that inshallah, alhamdulillah, for past many years now, Maulana Ilyas Qoya Sahib, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he has been running Tajweed class every Tuesday in our masjid fi sabilillah. For many years, Maulana has been providing this service, but unfortunately, seldom do brothers take benefit from this. So I request the brothers that please take out time in order to learn how to recite the Quran properly. Maulana has been giving this time, has dedicated his time every week. He comes on Tuesdays. The time depends on the season. Inshallah, details can be found. You can find out for myself on the website. Please make the most of this opportunity and the service that Maulana is providing. Inshallah, now I call upon another student of Al-Huda Darul Ulum, Yusuf Saeed, to come forward and recite Inat.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جہاں روزے پاکے خیر الورا ہے وہ جنت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے جہاں روزے پاکے خیر الورا ہے وہ جنت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے کہاں میں کہاں یہ مدینے کی گلیاں یہ قسمت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے محمد کی عظمت کو کیا پوچھتے ہو کہ وہ صاحب قاب قوسین ٹھہرے محمد کی عظمت کو کیا پوچھتے ہو کہ وہ صاحب قاب قوسین ٹھہرے بشر کی سرے عرش مہمان نوازی بشر کی سرے عرش مہمان نوازی ye azmat nahi hai to phir aur kya hai jahan roze paake khairul wara hai wo jannat nahi hai to phir aur kya hai jo aasi ko kamli mein apni chupa le jo dushman ko bhi zakhm ka kar dua de jo aasi ko kamli mein apni chupa le jo dushman ko bhi zakhm ka kar dua de use aur kya naam dega zamana use aur kya naam dega zamana wo rehmat nahi hai to phir aur kya hai jahan roze paake khairul wara hai wo jannat nahi hai to phir aur kya hai قیامت کا ایک دن معین ہے لیکن ہمارے لیے ہر نفس ہے قیامت قیامت کا ایک دن معین ہے لیکن ہمارے لیے ہر نفس ہے قیامت مدینے سے ہم جاں نثاروں کی دوری مدینے سے ہم جاں نثاروں کی دوری قیامت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے جہاں روزے پاکے خیر الورا ہے وہ جنت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے تم اقبال نعت کہہ تو رہے ہو مگر یہ بھی سوچا کہ کیا کر رہے ہو تم اقبال نعت کہہ تو رہے ہو مگر یہ بھی سوچا کہ کیا کر رہے ہو کہاں تم کہاں مد ہے ممدوح یزدان یہ جرأت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے کہاں تم کہاں مد ہے ممدوح یزدان کہاں تم کہاں مد ہے ممدوح یزدان یہ جرأت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے جہاں روزے پاکے خیر الورا ہے وہ جنت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے کہاں میں کہاں یہ مدینے کی گلیاں یہ قسمت نہیں ہے تو پھر اور کیا ہے.
MashaAllah, Allahumma zid wa barik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true love and ishq for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, without taking any more of your time, it is a great honor and a means of great happiness for me to call upon my honorable Ustad, Maulana Safwan Ahmed Sahib, hafizahullah ta'ala. Maulana needs no introduction. Maulana has been the Imam of Masjid Rahman for nearly the last 20 years. He's the founder of Al Huda Academy. Al Huda Academy runs a nursery, the only Islamic independent primary school. It has a full-time Darul Uloom. It has also a maktab. And much work of Deen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken from Maulana and is taken from Maulana. I personally am very indebted. Maulana is my ustad of hifz, and through his tarbiyah, nurturing and efforts, I embarked on the journey of talabul ilm as well. So I request the brothers, please make the most of this opportunity, sit with adab, respect, and listen to Maulana's words carefully.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My dear respected honorable elders and brothers and mothers and sisters listening at home, a poet very beautifully says, Muhammad ki muhabbat deen-e haq ki sharat-e awwal hai. Muhammad ki muhabbat deen-e shart ki دین حق کی شرط اول ہے, اسی میں ہو اگر خامی تو سب کچھ نامکمل ہے. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the foundation and the basic condition of an individual's iman. And if there's any deficiency with regards to the love that a person is supposed to have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then everything is incomplete and the whole life of ours and the deen of ours is deficient and incomplete. Aap hi hai maqsood hamare. Another poet says, aap hi hai maqsood hamare, dil ke ujale, aankh ke taare. Aap pe jaan hai qurban, aap hai mujhko jaan se pyare. The poet says that our objective is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We wake up, we want to imitate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every step we are thinking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My life's existence is because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to die because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And my life up, what does he say? That he says that my jaan and my life is sacrificed upon you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then further on he says that no, rather my life, you are more worthy and I have more reverence and more muhabbat for you over my own life, my own jaan. Now when a person hears something like this, then Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, once one of his associates and one of his murids, Khan Sahib, said that, Hazrat, you know, you are saying this, that a person's iman is not complete and it's not mukammal and it's not 100% until he does not love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than his mother, more than his father, more than his children, more than anybody on the surface of this earth. So then Khan Sahib said to Hakim ul-Ummat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, the Hazrat, mujhe to mere walid zyada mahboob hai. That I love my father, I love my parents more than I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how he felt. So Hakim ul-Ummat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, said that, nahi, Khan Sahib, no, you don't love your parents more. You love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more. So he goes, no, I'm being honest with you. I entertain in my heart the love of my father more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So because there was a bit of a discussion, so Hakim ul-Ummat rahmatullahi alayhi decided that, all right, let's just close the topic and, you know, let's talk about something else. So Hakim ul-Ummat rahmatullahi alayhi stopped for a while and then he started talking about the virtues and about the bounties and about the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now imagine Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, who was an embodiment of the sunnat practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he is mentioning all the fadail, all the virtues, the bounties, the qualities, and he's mentioning different aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everybody is saying, mashallah, subhanallah, and even Khan Sahib himself is sitting there, and you know, he's rocking side to side, and he's praising, and he's saying, wah, wah, Hazrat, carry on. I want to listen to more about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we would all do. After some time passed, Hakim ul-Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi stopped. And after stopping, he said that, Khan Sahib, hum ab aapke abba ki ka tazkira karte hai. Now let's talk about your father. Let's talk about the life of your father. So Khan Sahib goes, nahi, Hazrat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam kaha, aur mere walid sahab kaha, aap tazkira ko jari rakhe. Just carry on talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So thereafter, Hakim ul-Ummat rahmatullahi said that, I told you from before that you do have more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over your father. Every individual who has got iman, whether we experience or we feel or not, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, every mu'min in the depth of his heart does love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. Yes, the question does arise that, all right, muhabbat is there, then why is there no ita'at? Like somebody came to my house once and he said that, you know, I give azan in my local mosque. In my local masjid, I give azan. It was from another town. So I said that, yeah, but you've not got a beard. And sometimes you wear a shirt and pants. Now, adhan, my brothers, adhan, the muftiyan kiram are over here, but adhan, obviously, adhan is a very, 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 very lofty action in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that if somebody knew the sawab and the reward for the first saf as well as giving adhan. Now it's a tendency when people come in the masjid, they always want to sit towards the back. Imam Sahib can mention a dozen times, he can mention every day. But still, it's like it falls on deaf ears. You will always find some individuals who have this habit of sitting at the back. Irrelevant. Not realizing that there's much reward where the angels, where the mercy is descending in the first two sufu for the masjid. But nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the masjid, the first saf and giving adhan. If people knew the reward for the first saf and giving adhan,
then they would fight and take out their swords against one another to try and give azan or try and read namaz in the first saf. There's much reward inside. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the nearest effect that those individuals who give azan, then they will be on the day of Qiyamah, they will have the longest necks on the day of Qiyamah. So obviously, a bit of interpretations, but amongst the interpretations of this, one is having a long neck physically, but in simple words, that they will have lofty ranks and high esteem ranks on the day of Qiyamah compared to everybody else. Because there is only one place wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that when somebody is giving a lecture, for example, it's a form of da'wah. I am giving a lecture right now, it's a form of da'wah. Somebody doing ta'lim, it's a form of da'wah. Somebody giving a lesson of a dars is a form of da'wah. Somebody preaching or explaining, giving advice is a form of da'wah. But when it comes to a complete da'wah, somebody might say, well, he only talked about salah. He didn't talk about anything else. He only talked about salah. He didn't talk about zakat. Or he didn't talk about umrah or whatever else. When it comes to da'wah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that adhan, when somebody gives adhan, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught that after adhan, we read this dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. A complete da'wah this person has just given. A complete da'wah. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given this dua over here to read, that Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. Number one. Number two, we can understand the high level and the virtue and how auspicious giving adhan is. That amongst the many, many actions a person can do, whether it's salah, whether it's umrah, whether it's hajj, whatever it is, there is only one juncture in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised in the dua to make dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is after adhan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'imah ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wab'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. So in there we have the dua and supplication for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one can understand how high and auspicious this adhan is. So it's very, very important that adhan in masajid, somebody who's deendar, somebody who's mutashaddi, somebody whose tajweed is correct, somebody who knows how to give adhan, he should be giving adhan. Yes, we come from a culture, from an Indo-Pak subcontinent, many, wherein that individual who cleans the lavatories and cleans the wuzu khana normally gives adhan in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. Because they undermine, they don't understand the virtue and the maqam and status of adhan. Or somebody who should give adhan. So anyway, I said, but you know, your beard is not right and you've got shirt and pants on. Say, Maulana, dil, har cheez dil mein hai, dil asal hai. Dil asal hai. Many people, unfortunately, that's what they say. It's the heart. Asal dil. However I am, I've got a beard, I'm not got a beard. I wear a kurta, I don't wear a kurta. I do tilawat, I don't do tilawat. Asal dil. So I heard one very beautiful incident from my honorable Sheikh Muhammad Salim Sahib, Hafidhahullah. I'm quite correct that he was traveling on the train. So once he was traveling on the train, and there must have been, he had his other students or other ulama with him, and they must have been discussing, and they must have been talking, whatever. And there was somebody sitting there, and he must have overheard their conversation. And he was clean shaven. He was a Muslim, he was clean shaven. So whilst they were discussing this, this person sitting there turned around and said to Qari Tayyib Sahib, I can't recall which one it was, which Buzrug it was, but he said that, Qari Sahib, asal to dil hai. Asal dil hai. I've not got a beard, but asal dil hai. If I've got muhabbat, then I've got it in the heart. So don't worry about everything else. Remember, this is common sense, really. It's common sense. If somebody has love for his parents, he'll make the khidmat of his parents. If somebody has love and reverence for the house of Allah, then he will make sure that it's nice and clean, and you know, he reveres the house of Allah, he shows respect to the house of Allah, because he's got reverence and respect and love inside. It's completely common sense. But anyway, this person said this. Now, our pious predecessors, they would always want to teach a lesson very, very nicely and very eloquently. So what Hazrat said is, he asked him that, "Aap kaha ja rahe? Where are you going?" So he said, "I'm going to such a town, and this is where I'm going to be getting off." And Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi and his colleagues, they were coming off the station before that. So Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi took out an envelope. And he didn't, like he pretended, like he put a paper inside and he took out an envelope and he sealed the envelope. And as they carried on journeying, they came to the destination where they were coming off. Or either he was coming off, one of the two. And then Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi said to him that, "Ye lifafa, this envelope, aap pahuncha dena. Just reach it to the destination, you know, post it to the house, wherever it needs to go." So then this individual said, he looked at the envelope and he said, "Hazrat, us par to pata aur address nahi hai. Us par to pata aur address nahi hai." He said this to Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi, "That how much you expect me to post an envelope and you've got something important inside, but there is no address. So how am I supposed to post the envelope?" So Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi replied, "The asal dil hai, asal jo andar hai, wo asal hai. Bahir ki koi lena dena nahi hai. Asal is inside, like what you just mentioned to me. The asal is the heart. So the asal is the letter that's inside. Don't worry about what's outside or it's not outside." So that's when the individual understood that yes, many a times the question is that muhabbat is there. Everybody has got muhabbat, mashallah. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr. Because we've got iman, we have all got muhabbat. But why is it that we've not got ita'at? That's the question. Allama Badruddin, Badr Alam Mirti rahmatullahi alayhi, mentions in his I can't recall which kitab of it is that he has written, but he mentions inside that it shouldn't be that our example of ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the example of those followers of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the qawm of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la takunu kal ladhina adhaw Musa, fabarra'ahu Allahu mimma qalu." Oh, people of iman, it shouldn't be that you come underneath that category, that just how them individuals caused taklif and inconvenience to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you also through your actions cause inconvenience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. It's our belief and it's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, my dear brothers, that uridat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that the ummati's actions are put forward in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Every Monday and every Thursday. Remember this, imagine that my actions, your actions, what we did in the daytime, what we do at night, what we do in privacy, what we do in front of people, our actions are put forward in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he is resting. Now one can judge for himself, will Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam feel happiness when he sees our actions, or will it hurt his heart? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he sent 10 sahaba to spy on the disbelievers to a location between Afsan and Makkatul Mukarramah. So he sent 10 sahaba, dispatched 10 sahaba that you need to spy and you need to understand, you know, what's going on so we can understand how to attack or how to defend. So 10 sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in set out, but it so happened the news reached the disbelievers, so 200 of them came at this location here. 200 of them came, and it so happened Hazrat Asim radiallahu ta'ala was with Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala, who was with Zayd ibn Dathana radiallahu ta'ala was also there. So they all quickly climbed the mountain. And they said, "We're not coming down. We are on top of the mountain and we are not coming down the mountain." So they started shooting their arrows, and 7 sahaba became shaheed. There was only 3 left. Now the 3 left, these lords said that, "Look, come down and we will give you aman. We will give you, you know, safety. Don't worry. Just come down." So the sahaba amongst them, they said, "Look, the disbelievers, they're not going to give us safety. They won't stick to their word. But they had no other alternative, so all three of them came down, and there they made another one shaheed. So only two remained, Zayd ibn Dathana and Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala, no, two. Now it so happened, these disbelievers took both of them, and they sold them as slaves. But Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu came into the hands of Al-Harith ibn Amir. Now Harith ibn Amir was that individual whose father, Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, slaughtered in the battle of Ghazwa Badr. So he was overwhelmed and overjoyed that yes, I've got this slave over here and now I'm going to execute him, because he's the one who killed my father in the Battle of Badr. So Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was tied to a post. My brothers, he was tied to a post. When he was tied to a post, before he was tied, he asked them, قَدْ تَرَكْتُمُونِي أُسَلِّي رَكْعَتَيْنِ, that give me permission, let me perform two rakat salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, awwalu man sanna, that individual who, the first individual who performed two rakats in the qabri before entering the grave was Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he performed his two rakats. Whilst he was performing his two rakats, a sahabi's namaz, one can imagine how much concentration and devotion, but he shortened his two rakats. And he shortened his two rakats, and then he said to them, disbelievers, that if it weren't because, if I didn't fear that, you must have thought to yourselves that he's longing, he's lengthening his prayer because he's scared of dying. That's why I have shortened my prayer. Otherwise, I would have lengthened my prayer, but I've shortened it because I fear that you might be thinking that he's scared of death, but I'm not scared of death. So then they tied him to the pole. When they tied him to the pole, they said that, do you wish, هَلْ تُحِبُّ أَن تَكُونَ مُحَمَّدًا, that do you wish that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at your place right now? Do you wish that? Because it's because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam you are there. Why in the whole world, my brothers, whatever atrocities we see, why is there atrocities and zulm and oppression anywhere in the dunya against the Muslims? Why? Because we believe in Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That there is no, it's not for wealth, it's not for honor, it's not for anything else besides that we are believers, alhamdulillah, because we have got iman. So they said, do you not wish that Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in your place right now? So Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala replied that I wouldn't even wish that even a thorn prick Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body. Forget anything else. So anyway, Al-Harith ibn Amir, he lined up 40 archers. 40 archers. So 40 archers were lined up and he was tied to the post. It's a very famous couplet that he reads, Alastu Ubali, Alastu Ubali, Alastu Ubali Uqtalu Muslimah. It's a long, in Arabic, long couplets that pass. وَقَدْ خَيَّرُونِ الْكُفْرَ وَالْمَوْتَ دُونَهُ عَلَىٰ أَيِّ جَنْبٍ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَرْجَعِ. That obviously they tied him and his head was facing towards the Qibla. So Abu Sufyan said, move his head away. We don't want it facing towards the Qibla when he dies. So then he read these Arabic couplets that I don't mind that I am going to die because I'm a Muslim. عَلَىٰ أَيِّ جَنْبٍ لِلَّهِ مَرْجَعِ. And you want to move my face away from the Qibla, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. So it's not a problem if you move my face away. It doesn't make a difference to me. And he said, you're giving me the option between kufr, between disbelief and dying, I'd rather die. Because every rug of mine, there is Allah. Everywhere, there is Allah, Allah. So I'm not scared of dying. So then it so happened that they started, the 40 archers, they started releasing their arrows. And that's when Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the moment the first arrow hit and tears started rolling down his face, he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, oh Allah, send salams upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Send salams upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ajib, it so happened that Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst in Medina Munawwara, is sitting next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he's sitting next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he looks at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes started going red. And his face started going red. His eyes started watering and tears started rolling down his cheeks. And Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala says that we were looking at the beloved face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thought that, you know, what's happened? What's happened over here? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this juncture said that Hazrat Khubayb has been martyred and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam has come and he's conveyed his salams. My brothers, we listen to the atrocities around the world, but one needs to think to themselves, the Sahaba also went through very, very much difficulties with regards to the only one and sole reason was Iman on Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what do we go through? There is no sacrifice really. There is no mujahada. There is no qurbani. There is no atrocity. There is no difficulty in adopting the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no obstacle. There is no obstacle. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, in all honesty, even workplaces, in places, they allow you to keep the beard as well. They allow you to wear the sunnah libas as well. They even allow now in many, many workplaces, they have the musalla there as well for the employees to perform salah as well. There is nothing stopping an individual in this day and age, especially living in the UK, for not practicing upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the question I was saying, that muhabbat is there, why is there no itaat? People say that, you know, whoa, I can't seem to practice. Itaat is not there. So somebody asked this to Hakimul Ummat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullahi. The Hazrat, muhabbat to hai, lekin itaat nahi, itaat. Obedience is not there. Obedience is very difficult. So Hazrat mentioned very beautifully, very, very beautifully. Hazrat said that muhabbat is there, muhabbat is there. So muhabbat wo chingari hai, chingari. It's a small flame, a small candle. That it's in my heart, it's in your heart, it's in everybody's heart sitting over here. There's a small candle inside. Thereafter, Nabi Kari, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat rahmatullahi says, but asal mein dunya ki muhabbat, akhirat ki ghaflat, nafsani khaishat ki raakh jo hai, wo us chirag ya us chingari ke upar, wo chha gayi hai. That the love of the love and muhabbat of the dunya, the negligence of the hereafter, the negligence of the hereafter, the one's own desires, practicing upon one's own desires, the ashes of this has overpowered this small chingari and this small flame that everybody has in their hearts. So this flame everybody has got, and we got a sort of darkness type of thing that's coming over this flame of ours. So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah very beautifully says thereafter that if one does the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if one does the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is light and roshni. If one spends time in good company, this is light and roshni. If one repents, does the tilawat of the Quran and does istighfar, this is light and roshni. So this light and this roshni of the remembrance of Allah, whether it's through salah, whether it's through Quran, whether it's through sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, implementing them, slowly, slowly that raakh and that them ashes will move away from the small flame and candle, and that flame and candle will become a fire. A fire of ishq-e nabawi. A fire of the excessive love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Excessive love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many a times people say that, like how Hakim Ummat rahmatullahi, Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi very beautifully says that thawab o ta'at, thawab, the reward of ta'at, the reward of ta'at and zuhud, sab kuch janta hu, that I know everything with regards to what is the reward and what is the punishment, lekin dil uski taraf ja nahi raha hai. that the heart is not going towards there. The heart is not going towards there. So remember this, the heart is not going towards there because there's a sort of darkness that has overpowered. And to get rid of this, we have to and have to spend time in the remembrance of Allah and spend time with mashayikh and our pious elders and ulama. There is no other way forward. We have to do this. And if one does do this, then you have the likes of Khaja Muhyiddin Ajmeri Rahmatullahi, that in Tariqhe Mashayikh Chisht, it comes in there, an incident that Hazrat Muhyiddin Ajmeri Rahmatullahi Ali, Khaja Muhyiddin Ajmeri Rahmatullahi Ali, he was such an individual from head to toe, an embodiment of the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every sunnah has a nur and every sunnah has a light. Physical light and a light in the heart, because of which wherever he used to go, people used to come into the fold of Islam. And in Tariqhe Mashayikh Chisht, it's written that in his life, 9 million people accepted Islam in his life. Because when the sunnat is a nur and a light, so if you go with that sunnat and nur and light, wherever you go, there is light. Wherever you go, there is light. Wherever you go, there is light. So very, very important. Even the mayor reading durood, I was mentioning in one of the main points, very, very important. We had a seated bayan in Oldham on Friday night as well. That durood sharif, very, very important. Hazrat Muhammad ibn Sa'id ibn Mutarraf rahmatullahi alayhi, a very great predecessor. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sa'id ibn Mutarraf. He had one ma'mool and one habit of reciting durood certain amount of time. I can't recall how many amount of tasbihat every night. So he narrates that one night with punctuality and consistency. This is the problem, my brother. Many a times, one thing which is lacking in our lives is consistency. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "Ahabbul a'mali ilallah adwamuha wa in qalla." The most beloved of actions in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that are small in quantity, but they have consistency. So somebody can't read one sipara Quran. Somebody can't read half a sipara Quran. But you can read one page of the Quran every day. Then read one page, but read it every day. Read it every day. Very simple. Just read it every single day. Consistency. One is somebody gives 350, 360 pounds. And everyone says, wah, wah, subhanallah. He's given 365 pounds. And then the whole year he doesn't give anything. And somebody else, every day he comes in a masjid, he puts 1 pound in a galla box. So at the end of the year, he's also given 365 pounds. Nobody says anything. But that is ikhlas there, number one. And number two, he is remembering Allah and doing sadqah every day throughout the year. And the other person has only done sadqah once in the day. He gives 365 pounds, but only once. So this person is, the latter is more virtuous in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he has remembered Allah every day, and his amal is with consistency every day, and there is more ikhlas inside his amal as well. So he says that I had this one habit of reciting durood certain amount every single night before I sleep. Will inshallah everybody do this inshallah? We need to make it a point. Minimum 300 times our pious predecessors have said minimum 300. But if somebody can read 500, no problem. 1,000, no problem. But the condition is that it has to be read daily without failing. And to read something or make an amal daily, the only way forward is if one stipulates a time that this is the time by hook or crook I am going to read at this time. For any deed. So he says that when I slept at night, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in the dream. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Sa'id ibn Mutarraf says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, bring forward your lips those blessed lips with which you say and you send salutations, I want to kiss them. So Hazrat Sayyid ibn Muhammad ibn Sayyid ibn Mutarraf rahmatullah says that I felt so embarrassed in the dream that I felt, you know, I am unworthy, I'm a sinful servant. How can I give my lips? So I give my cheek instead in the dream. So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give a bosa and a kiss on my cheek. So when I woke up, the whole room was in a special fragrance. It was emanating and my cheek, the fragrance stayed on my cheek for 8 days. 8 days, there was a beautiful fragrance. One of our pious predecessors, Hazrat Faizul Hassan, Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayh. After his demise, in his room, where you know he would rest and where he would study his books, was a great muhaddith and a great lecturer. Faidul Hassan Saharanpuri rahmatullahi. So there was a fragrance, a very beautiful khushbu that used to mahak around the whole room. So after his demise, so people came to Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanoti rahmatullahi and said, Hazrat, you know, wahan kamre mein bilkul ajeeb kisam ki khushbu hai, ajeeb kisam ki khushbu hai. So Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanoti rahmatullahi replied that ji ha, asal mein Maulana Faidul Hassan Saharanpuri rahmatullahi, wo us kamre mein har jume raat on a Thursday night, wo raat puri raat jo hai wo durood sharif padha karte the. That because of him reciting durood sharif on a Thursday night, right the entire night, for 6 months in his room after his demise, there was a beautiful fragrance that was emanating. So my brothers, Seerat is head to toe, day to night, from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Seerat has got to do with every aspect of our life. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's 23 years of Seerat covers every aspect of a person's life. Married life, social life, personal life, life with others, with his neighbors, his business, whatever it is. Because Seerat covers every aspect. So obviously, like Mufti Sahib, mashallah, Damar Barakatuh, mentioned that, you know, there is no time limit. One can go on and on and on. And until today, people are still writing biographies about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi. And they will carry on writing biographies right until the day of Qiyamah. And it won't stop because there is so much light inside, there's so much guidance inside, there's so much lessons inside there that one won't stop. You have small hadiths of Rasulullah somewhere. There are pages and pages of commentary that are written. But it won't stop because it's never ending. It's an ocean without a shore. So we need to at least start somewhere. Start somewhere. And where are we going to start? Number one. Number one, inshallah, thumma inshallah, we are going to make it an objective and a maqsad in our life that from now on, we are going to try and instill as much muhabbat and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the first step. Will everybody do this, inshallah? That's our maqsad. We want to please Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that fast on a Monday and a Thursday. Why? Because when the actions are put forward and when the actions are lifted up by the angels, then one is fasting and they are lifted up in a good form over there. So we need to be those, not from what Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la takunu kal ladhina aadhaw Musa. Don't be amongst those like how his qawm caused him taklif and inconvenience. We need to cause sukoon to the ruh and the soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So number one is that we will make it a point that we want to please Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for this, number one is we will inshallah start reading Durood Sharif in abundance. Will everybody do this? Minimum 300, everybody put their hands up inshallah, who's ready for this? Minimum 300 times, minimum 300 times. And whilst a person reads durood, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people who are in work now, you have their small tasbih as well that people have in their hands. No problem. Keep the small tasbih whilst you are driving, you know, whether you are a taxi driver, whilst you're working on a computer, whatever, you know, that tasbih is sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was mentioning, you know, I came across a taxi driver that he just by doing taxis, and I mentioned this too in Darul Quran once as well, because there was many taxi drivers in the month of Ramadan sitting there. So I mentioned to them that he made it a point, because we keep on saying that little with consistency, little with consistency. What he was doing is that every day he was memorizing one verse. Now obviously he's dropped off a passenger and he's waiting there for his next job. So, Alif Lam Mim Dhalikal Kitab, Alif Lam Mim Dhalikal Kitab, Alif Lam Mim Dhalikal Kitab. The whole day, only one ayat. Then the next day, La Raiba Fi, Hudan Lil Muttaqeen. La Raiba Fi, Hudan. So every time he's got a job, he's waiting in between the job, he's reading the ayat. And whilst he's on the job, he's only reading these two ayats. He's only reading these two ayats. The third day, he memorized the next ayat. And only in his work time, whilst doing taxis, in 1.5 years, he memorized the Quran. My brother, if somebody utilizes his time properly, then one can do wonders. One can do wonders. But this thing here, this thing is a nightmare. It's a nightmare. You can either use it profitably, or you can either use it corruptly. And it's harmful. So anyway, that's a separate topic on its own. But Durood Sharif, inshallah. Number one is Durood Sharif. Number two is we want to learn about the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like right now we have mentioned, we've shared some stories, we've shared some incidents, and mashallah, everybody says, oh, wow, subhanallah, subhanallah, amazing, mashallah. So the more, so how can we learn? Either we can read books, there's a Hayatul Sahaba we can read, sit in Taleem as well, listen to the Taleem, sit in the Dars of Quran of Ulama, Dars kabood hai, Friday school. On Fridays, there's a Quran takes place. Maulana Mufti Sahib, you know, it's his tawazu and his humbleness. You know, he mentioned about me being the ustad and everything else. This is a hometown, home masjid over here, Zakaya Masjid. And, you know, it's, but I remember he was one of the first sitting in my dars. So we have dars on a Wednesday in Ar-Rahman. Many brothers know already in the English language. And he used to sit from the year eight, year nine. And he used to have an MP3 player there, and he used to record the dars while sitting in front of me in Ar-Rahman Masjid. And now, mashallah, it makes, you know, I'm very, very happy. May Allah Ta'ala grant him khulus, and may Allah Ta'ala grant him mazid tarqiyat, and may Allah Ta'ala safeguard him from the hasad of the hasidin. And the sharir, may Allah Ta'ala safeguard him. But now, alhamdulillah, he's giving a dars. He's a father of three now. And, you know, an imam of the masjid as well. So, what I was saying, with every Wednesday, I can't recall him missing even one dars of the Quran. One dars of the Quran. So, that drop that comes on the heart of a person, you know, slowly, it will penetrate the heart, that light. So, parents as well, and the youngsters sitting over here, and parents, make sure your children sit in the dars. Make sure your children sit in Taleem. Make sure they make ihtimam and consistency with the dars of Quran, because you don't know when that child tomorrow, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, no, my brothers, we're not concerned, and mashallah, Mufti Sahib is not concerned about congregation. Sometimes people say that there's a bayana, and there's only 10 people in the dars. There's only 5 people in the dars. There's only 2 people sitting in the dars. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was Ra'isul Mufassireen. And he had gone over the Quran with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not once, a few times of the tafsir of the Quran. You could ask him where the verse was revealed, when the verse was revealed, what's the commentary of the verse, why it was revealed, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would be able to share this. But when it comes to Ibn Abbas, one of his close students is Imam Dahhak rahmatullahi alayhi, who Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi quotes in Kitab al-Tafsir many a times, that Qala al-Dahhak, Qala al-Dahhak. What does Imam Dahhak say about the tafsir of this ayat of the glorious Quran? So he says that in the dars of Ibn Abbas, there only used to be about 15 individuals sitting there. This is a sahabi we are talking about. But even then, them 15 or so individuals that used to sit in the dars of Ibn Abbas, every single one became an imam and a mufassir of the Quran. So my brothers, there is benefit. There is benefit. And benefit, a person will see the fruits slowly. So number one is durood. Number two, we need to learn about the seerah of Rasulullah. So how can we do this? Either we read books, we sit in talim, hayatul sahaba, sit in the company of the ulama, etc. Number three, my brothers, is, I'm ending over here, number three is sunnats. Nowadays, our little kids know more sunnat du'as than we do. Many people, mashallah, are in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and probably them du'as, we only learned when we were 8, 9, 10 years old. Am I right, Hafizab? Right? After that, you know, we've not learned any du'as after that, since we were the age of 10, 11. My brothers, we got to carry on. Even if we learn one du'a a week, that will accumulate to 52 du'as in a year. One du'a a week. Is that possible or is it not possible, my brothers? Be honest. Can we learn one du'a or not? Nowadays, mashallah, there's loads of Ummah Welfare has the app with loads of du'as as well on their app as well. There's loads of du'as. A person, when he's sitting around, he can just memorize one du'a. One du'a after Fajr Salah, Allahumma ajini minan nar, Allahumma ajini minan nar. Somebody who reads seven times, then he's safeguarded from the fire of Jahannam. That's the sunnah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Fajr and after Maghrib. Now, Allahumma ajini minan nar, Allahumma ajini minan nar. If a person carries reading the whole week, he'll notice one du'a. Now, go on to a second du'a, the second week. So I'm hoping, inshallah, next year at this time, Mufti Saab, when he keeps a seerah program, whoever the speaker will be, he'll remind everybody that last year, this was advised, has anybody memorized 52 du'as? Hafiz Imran, sir, you'll be the first to answer, inshallah. Say, inshallah, inshallah. I'll have to tell your son, make sure your dad learns the du'as, yeah? Right? So du'as, sunnats and du'as. Sunnats and du'as. Very, very important. And lastly, Sunnat du'as and sunnats, number three. And number four, last my brothers, last but not least, is du'a. We need to make du'a to Rasulullah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala grant us the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni asaluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk. Those who, oh Allah, you love, and Allah ta'ala loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. So make du'a as much as possible. We make du'a for everything. And always remember, my brothers, last point, and I am finishing away because there's food as well. Du'a, one pious person very beautifully said, I read this 2-3 days ago, that when I make du'a and the du'a is accepted, I feel happy. But when the du'a is not accepted, I feel double happiness. So somebody asked him, the Hazrat, Ajibi, ki aapki du'a qubool ho, to aapko khushi hoti hai. Aapki du'a qubool na ho, to aapko double khushi hoti hai. So Hazrat said, that isliye ki jab meri du'a qubool hoti hai, to meri du'a, to meri mansha aur meri chahat wo hui. Lekin meri du'a jab qubool nahi hoti, to mujhe double khushi isliye ki Allah ki chahat hui aur Allah ki chahat ye thi ki meri du'a qubool nahi hui aur meri du'a qubool na ho, to Allah ki chahat, Allah ne apni chahat batlayi, to mujhe double khushi ho jati hai. That I feel double enjoyment. So, my brothers, one should not become despondent, if not today, tomorrow, inshallah. Our du'as, inshallah, are always accepted in the court of Allah. But inshallah, we will be able to see the fruits of the du'as as well. Wa akhiru da'wana, anilhamdulillahi wa rabbil alameen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to act upon Maulana's words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us the ability to follow his seerah and follow his sunnats. Inshallah, just before Maulana makes dua and buzzes go off for food, we'll have the prize giving for the Salah attendance competition. We had a number of children that participated. Inshallah, we'll just give the certificates for the first two children. The two children who came first and second. Inshallah, we'll just give the prizes and certificates for them. The rest of the children that participate, inshallah, you can see me afterwards in the office or later on, inshallah, I'll give you your vouchers.
They had a salah competition, the children, that they had to be punctual with salah, and then whoever was punctual for a few, 1-2 weeks or something, then they were going to be given a prize. So, mashallah, all the youngsters, these little kiddies, were very punctual, and now those who read salah 5 times in the masjid for a certain amount of period, they are being given a certificate over here. Alhamdulillah.
So we had over 6 weeks, so 6 weeks. Yeah, so 200 salahs in total, and alhamdulillah, number of children took part, some 25%, some 50%. Alhamdulillah, we had 2 children that came for each and every salah, from Fajr to Isha. For the 6 weeks, they attended each and every salah. So inshallah they'll be given a special prize. First, Huzaifa Rabbani. Second is Daniel Qazi.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله ألف ألف مرة اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح شباب المسلمين اللهم فرج كرب أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شد ما استعاذ من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين برحمتك.
Brothers are requested, inshallah, food will be downstairs in the basement. Brothers are requested, please eat the food, and then obviously it'll be Isha Salah, 9:15. Brothers can wash their hands downstairs and partake of the food. Please, Jazakallah.